Just a little meditation together this afternoon. I think we've already been richly blessed and could go home feeling full of things from the Lord. But just a few thoughts that God has been giving me. Some time ago, a friend and I were talking about how to relate to the lost. And we were talking of different ways in which we could identify and things that we could do and so on. And then she said, yes, but there are limitations because God has made us a peculiar people to himself. And that began to generate some thinking in my mind, and I went back to Scripture to study what it means to be a peculiar person. And I think it is true that we, to the lost world, we are peculiar, but it goes far beyond that. I don't know, maybe you have some friends you'd classify as peculiar. Or maybe you think you're peculiar. Or maybe you think I'm peculiar. Don't answer that. But it's a very interesting terminology that's used 6 times in the King James Version. It's not always translated that way, but in the King James Version, the term peculiar person or peculiar treasure is used 6 times, and it means chosen of God. It doesn't mean odd, doesn't mean eccentric, doesn't mean strange, but it means chosen of God. The primary definition in the dictionary is belonging exclusively to one person or group. That's what a peculiar person is. Let me just take time to read these 6 references to you from the Scripture, and if you want to look them up in your own Bible when you get home, fine. And I will also give you what the NIV translates as a peculiar person. King James, Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. NIV translates that, a treasured possession. Deuteronomy 14:2, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are on the earth. NIV, treasured possession. Deuteronomy 26:18, and the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. And the NIV, treasured possession. Psalm 135:4, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Translated, treasured possession. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us. This is probably more familiar to you than some of the others. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us unto himself from all iniquity and purify a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. And that is translated, a people who are his very own. And finally, 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth his praise, who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And that's translated, a people belonging to God. A peculiar people. It's not an option when you've received Christ. You are a peculiar person, set aside for God, one of God's treasured possessions. It's we are, not we will be in heaven, not we could be here on earth if only we were thus and so. We are God's treasured possession. It's kind of like a young person in love. We have 2 children who are married, and our third, a daughter, just announced her engagement, and she's going to be married at Christmas. She's living in Seattle. But when I talk to her on the phone, I can hear in her voice that she considers herself a girl peculiar unto Tim, one of Tim's treasured possessions. Tim's treasured possession, not a plural there, what am I saying? Tim's treasured possession. can hear it in her voice. I'm going to see her in a couple weeks. I'll see it on her face. And that's the way God wants us to feel. Treasured means valued or esteemed or cherished. And possession gives us a feeling of security that we are God's very own. Now you might say, well, why does God need a treasure? God has all the treasures of the earth, of the universe. Psalm 50:10 tells us that he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. What does he need more treasure for? We're such a very small part of the universe. I like an illustration that Jerry has used. Jerry's work before the Navigators was in the area of space and space flight and so on. And he's given an illustration that shows just how small we really are in God's creation. If we could travel at the speed of light, okay, how fast is that? Are you awake? How fast is the speed of light? Very good. Here's a woman from Eagle Lake that can tell us. 186,000 miles per second. Okay, if we were traveling at the speed of light around the Earth, we'd go around the Earth 7 times in a second. You've heard that old illustration. You know, if you shot a pistol and the bullet went around the Earth, it'd go through your body 7 times before you could get your hand off the trigger. Okay, that's how fast the speed of light is. Now, to get an idea of moving out into God's universe, if we were going that fast, we'd get to the moon in 2 seconds. Took our astronauts about 3 days, right? We'd get to Mars in 4 minutes. We would arrive at the edge of our solar system in half an hour. This is speed of light now. We'd reach the nearest star, Alpha Centauri, in 4 years. We'd get to the Milky Way in 120,000 years. That's not our years. That is at the speed of light. It's a big place out there. It's a big universe God has created. We would get to the nearest galaxy in 200,000 years. Now, scientists estimate that there are millions of galaxies. Kind of gives us a little perspective, doesn't it? We're pretty small in God's creation. But he considers us his treasured possession above all of the rest. That really gives me a feeling of security. But maybe you'd say today, well, is this any way to treat a treasured possession? If I'm so treasured, how come I've got it so tough? Have you ever had that thought? The Lord is really giving it to me in spades right now. I don't feel very treasured. I don't feel very protected. And as I look around the room, I can see some of you that I know well, and I know things are difficult for you. Maybe you have some kind of emotional pain or physical pain, or you're not appreciated, or you're misunderstood, or finances are trouble. Well, that's so common, we probably don't need to even consider finances, do we? But everybody goes through difficult things. I had a phone call yesterday from a friend who lives in a distant state, and I could tell by the tremble in her voice that something was wrong. And I said, What's happening? I can tell something's wrong. She said, oh, I can't stop crying. All of the children went to school last week, and I'm so lonesome, I can't stop crying. Now, that wouldn't be my particular problem, and it might not be yours, but everybody has some area where they perhaps don't feel like a treasured possession, feel that they have it a little tough. Well, I think we can draw a parallel here with what we consider on earth to be treasures. Take diamonds and gold. Some of you might be wearing diamonds and gold today. And we do consider those treasures here on earth. They're hidden away in the deep, dark recesses of the earth, usually. Now, there are a few exceptions. They have to be dragged out of that place by very difficult methods. chopped and axed and chipped away from the earth and then brought out into the light. But even then, these earthly treasures are not beautiful. Did you know that diamonds come out of the earth very dingy? Maybe most of us haven't seen one directly out of the earth, but they come out very dingy, dirt-covered, and gold comes out mixed with rock and dirt and other lesser metals. And in order to bring these treasures of the earth to brilliance and to their full shine, they have to go through very rough treatment. Diamonds are washed in strong solutions, then they're polished and buffeted, and finally they're chopped and cut, or sawed sometimes. Gold is treated with high, high heat, but even after that, it can be leached through a chlorine solution or given an electrolysis system to go through the gold and purify it to its finest point so that it's clear and shiny and brilliant and it's valued and it's ready to be shown off. And I think that God treats his own treasured possessions in much the same way. Some of the difficulties and trials that we go through are bringing us to our full brilliance so that we can really display the character of our owner who's in us. James 1:2, so familiar. Consider it all joy when you go through trials of various kinds, because then you're going to be mature, you're going to be ready to shine. And Hebrews 5:8, even Jesus, he learned obedience. He learned to shine through the things that he suffered. And difficulties or strained circumstances are an evidence that we are God's treasure. But on the other hand, on the earth, we guard our treasures. We hide our treasures. We have locked bank vaults, don't we? Or we have guarded museums. Or maybe at home you have a secret place where you're keeping things that you don't want anybody to find and steal away, or locked containers. I have a brother who, because of his wife, has access to free passes on airlines, and so they often travel just at the spur of the moment, and he needs to have money in hand to travel. He likes to keep the cash at home because he can't always make it to the bank at the right time. And he has been robbed in his home, so he has discovered that if he puts cash in the freezer under meat packages, shuts the door, and locks the door, it's safe. And he calls it his cold cash. Well, that's what we do with our, what we consider our treasures, but that isn't what the Lord does. He puts us right out there on display. But you know, we're as safe as though we were in the most secure system ever invented by man. I love Psalm 91, which tells us about God's security system. Let me just share with you a couple of verses from Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He is my refuge, he's my fortress. Under his wings we will find refuge. He will command his angels regarding you to guard you in all your ways. That's a pretty good security system, isn't it? All his angels guarding us, guarding the treasure that God considers the highest above the whatever else he has in the entire universe. So I don't know all your lives this afternoon, but I do know that most of us are facing some kind of difficult things. It's an evidence that we are God's treasured possession. No matter what he brings into our lives, he is guarding us. He has sent his legions to guard and protect us, no matter what the circumstances. Let's thank him for that, shall we? Father, how we give you praise this afternoon that we are your treasured possession. We're a peculiar people, drawn to yourself for a purpose, for obedience and praise. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this assurance in your word. And we commit ourselves to you today, Lord, to do with as you choose to bring honor and glory to your name. Thank you for the privilege of being together this afternoon. And we ask, Lord, that the things that have honored you would be remembered. Those things which are not of value would be erased from our minds. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.